We sense your presence here this morning. Thank you, God, for each life, Lord, that is here before you. I ask, God, that each person, Lord, this morning will feel that molding, will feel that drawing to you, will feel that closeness to you, God, break into each life. I thank you that we're individuals. I thank you, God, that you speak to us individually. Thank you, God, that by your Spirit you are sensitive to us personally. You know us so well. And I pray this morning that you'll break into each life, that we will live the life for you that you have determined for us, that we will live the life for you that you have moulded for us, that we will live the life for you, Lord, that you meant us to have. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, I don't know how you feel this morning, but the presence of God is amazing. I hope you've had a good week praying for stuff this week. It's been good. I'm going to just put that scripture up for me, please. I'm going to start the story this morning. I'm going to talk about is Acts 16, verse 6 and 8. And it's basically, I've not got loads of scriptures this morning. I've got not got loads of slides. And I'm a bit hoarse because I've been singing my heart out. You can tell. Sound like I've got a cold, but I haven't. I've been belting it out for God. I want to share this story with you this morning. And I've been in this story for a month. And I've prayed over it. I've had my eyes shut thinking about it. I've been asking God about it. And I knew I should speak on it. And I just want this morning for you to really get something out, thanks. Really get something out of it for yourself this morning. Just have a quick slurp. You know, God has got so much for you as an individual. As I'm growing in my Christian life, and I'm growing all the time, I just really realise that God has got so much more for me. I just hope I can fit it all in before I pop my clogs. Because God has got so much for me. God has got so much for me. And the relationship with him, he wants it to be better and better and better and better. And I feel like I've only just scratched the surface. And I've been on this journey quite a while, but I still feel like I'm still scratching the surface, God. But I just want God to fill my own life more and more. So the backdrop of this, what I'm going to talk about, this Acts 16, is basically... It's Paul's second journey to the churches. And I'm going to call it Derbe. It's probably Derbe or something like that that we call it, and Lystra. And he goes on this journey and he meets Timothy and his family. And it's 5 years before that he was with them. So 5 years before, Paul was in Derbe, or Derbe. Let's have a bit of fun, Derbe. And he was there. And while he was there, he was nearly stoned. I don't mean stoned by, you know, drugs. I mean, stoned by stoning. And while he was there, so, you know, it's not a place you probably think I'll go back there. If I've been somewhere and somebody tried to kill you by stoning you, I don't think it's the first trip on your list, is it? So, but he went back because he felt he should go back. And when he was there, he met Timothy and his family. And Timothy and his family will have known and seen what happened 5 years before. And all those people who lived around there would have known what had happened 5 years before. And that's in Acts 15, for those of you that want to read it. So Timothy joined Paul and Silas because there was a gap. We heard last week, Jed spoke brilliantly last week. And if you've not heard it on audio, I'd encourage you to listen to it. It was fab. He talked about John Mark last week. And John Mark and Barnabas had left Paul. So there was a gap. And you know, God fills gaps because God's kingdom is always going to prosper. So God always fills gaps. I always say to Mark, God always provides provision for the vision, always. And he did. So... Paul, Silas and Timothy were enjoying a really good time working in the church, and it was prosperous, they strengthened, and the church grew daily. it was going well. And we join Paul where he's planning his next part of the journey. And Paul, it says, Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. In a nutshell, to explain all those long words, which I've practiced how to say them. In a nutshell, they were going to Turkey. Asia's not Asia that we think of, it's Turkey, that's what it was called then. And God said no. And sometimes we ask God, you know, we do this thing, oh God, open this door, shut this door. And then when he shuts it, we're dead disappointed. That's how we pray as Christians. We're dead disappointed when God shuts doors. But I want to tell you, it's a good thing when God shuts doors. So if you're praying about any sort of direction in your life and a door's shut, there's a reason why the door's shut. And what you need to do is carry on asking God where you're going. So in this place, at this point in time, God told Paul, no, you're not going where you think you're going. He had other plans. So he's preaching God's word, and you might think, well, he's doing the right thing. He's doing the right thing there. He's preaching God's word. Why has God said no about going there? So sometimes we can justify, well, I'm doing the right thing, Lord. I'm going to be doing this. Why are you saying no? So sometimes it can be a really good reason, but it's not in God's plans. You don't do it. God said no. And it's actually Ephesus where he was probably thinking of going. And we know the story because we've read the further chapters. He ends up in Ephesus, but not at that particular time. Timing is everything. Timing in everything in your Christian life is everything. Because when you ask God about what you're going to be doing next week or this week or tomorrow, you'll bump into people that you're meant to have conversations with. And if you don't ask God and ask for direction, you're not going to meet those people that you should have conversations with. It's really important before you get out of your house, before you get in your car, and start to say to God, God, who do you want me to be with today? What conversations am I having today? Who am I going to be speaking to this week? Who am I going to be texting this week? Let's bring it into the modern day. Who am I going to be WhatsApping this week? Because you have an opportunity there, and God uses these opportunities. So his second choice was Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit said no. And then the third choice was Troas, and that's where he ended up. So what does this show us? Our ideas are not always God's. What I think is right to do is not always what God wants me to do, and that's the challenge. Once I saw this job advertised, it had my name written all over it. I read it, I thought, oh yeah, I can do that. I read the job description, and it went all these things, organised, delegate, all sorts of other things. I thought, yeah, that's me. It was a good job. And I thought, right, okay, I'm going to apply for this. And as soon as I had that thought, the answer was, it was a feeling of like I'd done something wrong. Straight away, it was like, no. I thought, this is a good job, good money, it'll be great, I'll really enjoy it. Okay, God. And a few days later, it came up again. I thought, oh, I wonder if that's God asking me about whether I should do it or not. Isn't it funny how we twist things around? I wonder if God wants me to do it or not. Okay. So it gets the application form up. As soon as I opened the computer and typed in the job, it was no. Okay, God, I won't do it then. And you know, later on I got a different job, which was much better. And I'd have been in a place that I shouldn't have been in, all because I thought my ambition was there. And actually, God said, no, I want you here. Within 12 months, I was in a different job, doing something absolutely brilliant, much better, and was more me. You see how God knows the future. See, we're a bit like a sat-nav. We think, I want to go here. And you put your postcode in and you think, I'm off. And God says, no, actually, I don't want you to go there. I want you to go somewhere else. But we're very impatient us. And we've got to, whenever we've got to do stuff or want to do stuff, we've got to ask God. I've been talking for quite some time about listening to God. It's really important. So let me tell you about a modern day equivalent. I thought, how can I sort of explain this to you? So David Livingstone was on his way to China. He thought, I'm going to be called by God to go to China. And where did he end up? Africa. Totally different, isn't it? But he thought he was being called to China. And he ended up in Africa. So after the doors were closed for Paul, he went to sleep one night and basically had a dream. And in this dream, it was a man from Macedonia. And in this dream, this man is pleading for help. Now, it must have been quite a visual dream because he saw the man pleading for help. And the man said where he was from. He woke up and he basically thought, right, the rest of the gang that he was with, get ready and we're off. And he did it very quickly. He packed all his stuff and went to Macedonia. 156 miles it was, 2 days of sailing. Those of you that can't sail like me, that wouldn't have been very pleasant. 156 miles. And he ended up in Philippi. Now, there was no one Jewish in Philippi. Philippi was very, very Roman. In those days, they had to have 10 men in a town, and that would have constituted a synagogue. There wasn't enough Jews in that town, men, to have a synagogue. So there was no Jews in Philippi. So God had brought them to a totally Roman place. It was full of Roman soldiers, and Roman soldiers went there to retire. That was where they went. So God called them to this very Roman place. And not only did he call them to this Roman place, that when he was preaching and stuff and he was going around the towns and everything, there was this young woman who followed him who had a spirit, and she was a fortune teller. And as he was walking around, she was kind of saying, yes, he's from God. Yes, he's saying the right word. Yes, he's doing the right things. And it really annoyed him, because obviously she had this spirit that was endorsing what he was saying. So in the end, he just went like this. Not like that, like this. Went like that, and basically called the spirit out, and it was gone. But because he'd done that, the people, she was a slave, the people that owned her turned around and said, we can't earn any money now. So they went to the Roman authorities, and he ended up in jail. Him and Silas ended up in jail. Now, just before they went in jail, I've missed a bit because I've not gone on my notes. When they actually arrived in Macedonia, they met Luke. This is the important part, actually. They met Luke. And who is Luke? Those of you that are here, Jed, who is Luke?
He's the writer of the gospel in the book of Acts.
He's the writer of the gospel in the book of Acts. So if he'd not gone to Macedonia, he wouldn't have met Luke. Very important that he met Luke. He was also a physician, so it was important to have him on his journey as well. He also met a woman. So some of us have thought, well, I'm sorry, God, but in this dream it was a man in Macedonia. It wasn't a woman. So he actually met Lydia, and she was a woman who sold purple. And it says that she worshipped God, but she the house weren't Christians. And it also says that at that time that he baptized Lydia and all her family. And one of the things it keeps saying in this part was when he met Lydia, was he turned around to her and said, you and your household. And one of the things I want to say to you this morning, some of you have given up praying for your household. When I was preparing this, some of you have stopped praying for your children, for your brothers, for your sisters, for your family. You've almost accepted that they'll not become Christians. And what I would say to you is, that's not right. And that you need to continue to pray for your families. Now, what I mean by, I don't mean go home and Bible bash them. I don't mean that at all. I mean, carry on loving your family and being a Christian in the home. And your family will find faith. It's not about bashing them with God or the Bible. It's about loving your family. You see, our God has changed our lives. He's changed my life. And I know I live a better life now than I would if I didn't have God. And that's what we want for our families. So continue to pray for your families. when the slave girl had been emptied of this spirit, what happened was her owners complained to the Romans, and Paul and Silas were severely beaten by rods, it says. Severely beaten. And then they were thrown into prison. And I was thinking, at that point, when they were beaten, would they have been thinking, oh God, you brought me to this place and how you blessed me? You know, I asked God to go somewhere that you sent me. And when I got there, I was beaten. Would you be having a second question about, had you done the right thing? I think I would have been. And they were beaten. And then they were thrown into jail. But not Paul and Silas. It says that when they were in prison, they were singing. They were singing about the goodness of God. And it said that all the other people in the prison could hear them singing. And I thought, wow, that's amazing, isn't it? They'd gone somewhere they asked God to go to. Then they got beaten because they did the right thing with this slave girl. They set her free. And then they end up in prison. And they sing to God. And I just thought, that was amazing. And the reason why they went on that journey was because those people in the prison needed to see what God could do. All those people in that prison needed to hear about God. And not just the people in the prison, not just the prisoners, but the person who was put in charge of them. See, they when they locked them up, they put a jailer in charge of them. And when they locked them up, they didn't just lock the doors. It said that they put them in stocks. And they would have had some sort of restriction around the legs that was locked. And some of you have seen things like irons that are locked, you know, when people put irons around people's legs and things. And that's what they would have had. At the point they were singing, suddenly the earth began to shake. Who knows what happens next? A bit louder. Yeah, the doors opened. There was an earthquake. Now, you might think, right, okay, well, that's kind of not particularly a spiritual thing. If there was an earthquake and the doors opened, you know, the earthquake might have upset everything in the jail and the doors sprung open and everything else. But it says, and the locks on their ankles were broken. This was a God action. It wasn't just an earthquake. So those people who were chained up were free. And Paul and Silas were free as well. And at that moment, the jailer grabs a knife. At that moment, the jailer grabs a knife. And he grabs a knife because he will die if they leave the jail. And he assumed that everyone would flee. He grabs a knife. And Paul shouts and says, stop. Don't. He was going to commit suicide because that's what would happen to the jailer. He'd be killed. And he tells him to stop. And the jailer, having listened to all the songs, having watched these men being beaten, and actually, one of the questions I have, and we won't know the answer to this, is was it the jailer who beat them? Was it the jailer who'd beat the men? And, you know, we don't know the answer to that, but it could have been. And he saw them, and at that point, he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved straight away. He didn't say you've got to read your Bible every day. He didn't say you've got to get on your knees every morning. He didn't say you've got to do this ritual. He didn't say you've got to do that. He simply said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. And the jailer, at that point, didn't kill himself. And it says that the jailer and all his family became Christians and were baptized. So you got Lydia and all her family baptized. You got the slave girl set free. And you got the jailer and all his family baptized. And that's why Paul had to go where he was. And what he did was, he saved the jailer from certain death. And they were released the next day, still confident that God had this sorted. The earthquake was a demonstration to the guard that God would do what God could do. And he demonstrated his salvation and his family. You see, what God had got planned was a brand new congregation in Philippi. He'd got a congregation of Lydia, her family, the Roman soldier, his family, and now a girl made free. And then, you know, it's one of the thoughts I had, well, did Luke stay then and that church was established? So I want to just say to you this morning, listening to God for your own personal journey is the most important thing. Jed talked about last week was, what's your vision for 2022? What do you see for 2022? And I thought, what doors this year will God open for you? What doors this year will God close? Who will be the equivalent to your jailer and household? Will your focus be on yourself or the salvation of others? You see, one of the things that Paul did, which is really important, is he wasn't focused on his own freedom. When he was in jail, he was focused on the jailer. And you'd think, after all what happened, if I was in prison and the doors opened and there was a way out, I'm telling you, I'd leg it. I wouldn't be looking after somebody else. My natural behaviour would be, I'm off. But this story is all about the jailer. So this coming year in 2022, will you be thinking about your own needs or will you be looking after the jailer? Will you be looking after the jailer, and then the jailer then? It's his family that become Christians. Who will come in and be the people who continue in our church? Who will be the people who come in this year? Who will be the people who will form the basis of others coming up through our church? Because that's what happened in Philippi when we listened to God. That's what happened. Who will be our Roman soldier? Who will be our Lydia, the seller of purple? Who will be our slave girl? Who will be dabbling in the wrong spiritual things that we have to get involved in? All found release and salvation. It's exciting when we follow God's plans and shelve our first choice, shelve our second choice, and then get clear spiritual direction. So I want you to leave you with this thought. It's the same God. It's the same God yesterday, today and forever. And it's the same Holy Spirit. Have a think about what God can do. It's amazing. Thank you.
So that was good, wasn't it? Really good. And you know, quite often when we take our eyes off ourselves and focus on others, our problems don't seem as bad, do they, actually? And just, I guess it's going to that inner peace again. God gives you peace and he gives you the strength and everything that you need. So, yeah, get listening to God and deciding what he's going to do with you this year. Well, that's the end of our service today. It comes round too quickly, doesn't it? We've got the offering bowl here. So if you want to put your offering in there, you can do. And don't forget, if you've not picked up your GDR forms or the celebration invite, get that filled in and popped in the bowl too. Have a brilliant week, and we'll close in prayer.